time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On my 101 series today, it's all about fly fishing. Typically in my voice, you hear an excitement. Well, I'm going to talk about fly fishing. There's going to be great excitement going on because you see, hey, I'm an environmental scientist. You all know that. One of my passions, something that brings me into the outdoors, is fly fishing. Growing up as a youth, I was a spin fisherman. You know, on the farm, my cousin Jimmy Toots, my cousin Donnie B, and I, cousin Pat, we would be fishing all the time. It was spin fishing. And then I switched over to fly fishing, and all of a sudden, there was beauty, art, and relaxation. And here's the cool thing about whatever type of fishing you do. You only fish with the people that you want to be with. And Inspector Dave and I, he's my organic gardener on staff, but also a great friend of mine, and we fly fish together all the time. Cousin Jimmy Toots, and now I'm slowly getting my two little nieces in, Gabby and Gracie, into spin fishing, but you know that there will be fly fishing in their future. There will be many reasons to learn and numerous places to gain knowledge about the sport. First, I'm going to speak to you about not the gear, because we're going to get into the gear, but there's a specific starting point, and here it is. The key is to learn how to read the water. Think about these percentages. 10% of the water holds 90% of the fish. And because of this, 10% of the fishermen catch 90% of the fish. So don't you want to be a 10%er? You know, you can catch all types of fish on fly rods, but the number one species people go for is trout. And there are rods for all, from freshwater rods straight on through to saltwater, or I'm a scientist, so I call it seawater rods. So they're there. Today we're going to really hone in on a 101, because as you're learning, people typically learn on trout streams. So one of the places you need to get to, or one of the organizations you need to get to know, is Trout Unlimited, commonly called TU, and I'll probably refer to them many times today as TU. I belong to this fine group. Taking one of their classes, and they usually offer them in the winter, sometimes in early spring, you're going to learn the ins and outs of flies, the ins and outs of how to cast, the ins and outs of all the gear that you need. And then I'm going to ask you, once you've learned all of this, to take it to your lawn. And right now you're going, what do you mean, take it to your lawn? Well, every spring, Inspector Dave comes over. I take a couple Frisbees, and I throw them out on the front lawn. We grab our fly rods, and we begin to practice our casting. And this is, you know, hey, in March, we still have snow. Snow is clearing. We're looking for that. You might catch a 60-degree day. Snows are just somehow gone. And we're out casting. And the reason why we have the Frisbee at different distances, you know, we're going to roll cast here. We're going to do a couple false casts to a longer one. And, you know, just become accurate. And you know what? It's also just getting into, you know, I guess the season is coming. You just want, once again, just want to be outside. Well, while this is going on every year, one year, neighbor across the street, I live in a desolated area, only a few people on my street here. Well, my neighbor across the street, he was ill at the time, and a couple of his accountants, he was a big high-tech guy here, and a couple of his accountants were showing up from the business, and they're getting out and like Rolls, Mercedes, all these high-end cars, and they're seeing Dave and I fly fishing on the front lawn. And first they're looking at us, and I say, hey, how you doing? And on the way out, the guy goes, did you catch anything yet? Not yet. Well, they come back the next day. Happened to be another warm day. Inspector Dave and I are fly fishing again on the front lawn, and these guys look at us like, in their minds, like, do these guys do this every day? And I just looked over and said, haven't caught anything yet, but I think today is the day. Well, that's what we do. It's like, you know, hey, you got to have fun. And as I said, you only fly fish with the people, or fish with the people you want to be with. Hey, and this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Many years ago, when I got into fly fishing, the experts in the store not only geared me up, but taught me about the sport and led me to some of the best trout fishing around. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, TU will teach you about the various flies and how to select them. They also offer fly tying classes, and I'll address that in a little bit too. At these courses, they discuss the gear, tips, and most important, there are three things you need so that you can find fish. If you find these three things and the intersection between them, you will definitely be on fish of whatever species you're looking for. You look for three things: food, protection, and comfort. And when you learn how to read the water, and at TU they teach you this, when you learn how to read the water, you will learn how to find food, protection, comfort, find the intersection, and there is a fish sitting right there for you. Now, there is also trout in the classroom, and I think this is great because, you see, TU as an organization, again, all great outdoor organizations want to get our youth involved. Well, what they will do, and I hook them up with a local school, and they come in literally with at least $1,000 worth of equipment, fish tanks, all the filtering systems that you need, and then from your state fishing game, the state fishing game shows up and brings a specific species of trout, most times brown, sometimes brookies. They bring them in, and the students raise them all year long, and they can communicate with TU and ask any questions they have. They can communicate with fishing game. So it's a learning process and a cooperative learning process, all funded by TU. And then in the springtime, the class gets to take a field trip. The state actually designates a specific stream or river where they get to release the fish. And the students get to get out there and release the fish. And that is one great thing. And TU's whole thing is they want children to know that trout only live in clean water. So they're also stressing that we must keep our waterways clean. So it's just a great way to introduce students and keep them involved and hopefully, you know, bring them into the fold of trout fishermen as well. So before I move on to TU, you know, you're going to forge friendships. There's going to be bonds. You're going to find fishermen, fisherwomen. And with the instructors at TU, and TU offers fishing trips, so you get to fish alongside the experts, and that's pretty neat. And most organizations, you simply just don't get a chance to do that. And some of them will become lifelong friends. And you've got rookies and experience. And where else can you have this, you know, this venture? I mentioned it, but to me, it's a great one. Now, in the wintertime, outdoorsmen are always looking for excursions, especially in the northern, northeast part of the country. Well, I am personally writing my notes for this show, no exaggeration, during a blizzard. What's 20 inches of snow, you know? You're right today, I plow tomorrow. Hey, what are you going to do? Well, as fishermen, we need to have visions, I guess, visions of mayflies dancing in our heads, something like that. So we get to expand our base of knowledge and excite our minds for warmer weathers. You know, you get this at fly fishing shows, and there are fly fishing shows all across the country. So you need to find out what area of the country they're going to be in, and you find out, you know, where you're going, because guess what? Next weekend, the fly fishing show is near me, and the long-range forecast, we're going to have a big heat wave. It's going to be somewhere around 30 degrees out there. Now, at the shows, you'll see every bit of gear. So if you're a rookie to expert, it's all there for you. You know, so much of the gear is for sale, and I always say this, check your credit cards at the door. You know, it's like the kid in the candy store. Well, I'm going to let you know that, hey, and I really do mean this, it doesn't matter whether you're going here to some outdoor store somewhere. Set a price limit on what you really can afford. Hey, and buy things, you know, and it's like anything with all my outdoor gear. I mean, I have a fleet of snowshoes downstairs, but I didn't go out and buy all of them. Some were gifts. Some I put on my Christmas list, which obviously also are gifts. Santa's a pretty nice guy. And I would slowly add on and bought a few of them at the end of the season when the prices aren't so expensive. So it's just something for you to think about. Well, when you go to these fly fishing shows, there's going to be fly casting demos. And I'm going to tell you right now, the guys are all mic'd up, wired up, and you want to take in some of these because some of the best names worldwide will be part of the staff. If Lefty Cray is demonstrating, do not miss Lefty Cray. And I'll tell you a couple Lefty Cray stories as this show goes on. But he is the best. He's the most knowledgeable. He's funny. He's entertaining. I am actually filming with Lefty at one of these shows, Joey BT. We're filming there. And Lefty's doing his instruction, and he's looking down. Again, there's crowds of, you know, hundreds and thousands of people crowd around. They have a casting pool, you know, that they teach at. And Lefty goes, hey, you know, that lady down there about 70 feet away, she's not listening to me. And he casts, and there's no hooks on the flies. And he casts, and he lands a fly right on her hat. Like, utterly amazing. There is a brilliance behind him and all the fly fishing greats. So the way I got involved with getting to know Lefty, well, TFO, Temple Fork Outfitters, one of the top fly fishing companies, fly rods and reels in the country, just a great place. So I get to know Rick Pope, who's the chairman of TFO. And Rick and I, over the years, have become friends. And I said to Rick one time, I said, you know, you got Lefty Cray on staff. And for Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, Joey B TV, I like to film with Lefty. He says, give me a time. I said, what? He says, you give me a time, I'll arrange it. Lefty and you will do your interview, do whatever you need to do. So we went over to the casting pool, and Lefty and I had a great conversation. And that was the beginning of the relationship between Lefty Cray, Rick Pope, and myself. And by the way, Lefty will be down there at the fly fishing show in another week. And I know that I'll have a great conversation with Lefty. I've filmed with him a few times. He's just a wonderful. Now think about this. Yeah, I'm not going to give a real age because I don't even know the exact. Lefty's literally about 90 years old. Still travels the world, and he travels the world fishing and travels the world lecturing with his books and all that. So I would recommend, you know, checking out some of the Lefty Cray things. Well, at these shows, they also have lectures, you know, about different fishing scenarios and places to fish worldwide. You'll also see fly fishing guides from all over the U.S. Well, I'm going to let you know that if you're going to hire a fly fishing guide, you know, one of the trips, it's costly, and I have been on a number of them. They're costly, but they are definitely worth the price. Give you a good example, who's also a friend, Bob Jacklin. He's out in West Yellowstone, Montana. If you go out with Bob, Bob is going to teach you. He's going to entertain you. He's going to feed you, and then he's going to get you on fish. And I think if you're going out for the day or 2 days with a guide, that's what you're looking for. So I just give you that example. Now, at these shows, there are also fly tying kits for sale. So that leads us to, you know, it should be noted that there are fly tying shows as well as fly fishing shows. And I also mentioned to you that TU offers fly tying courses. And the cost of purchasing flies, you know, I'm going to let you know that over time, you know, and very shortly, I'm going to tell you all about the prices involved. You know, so you're getting into the sport. What does it really cost? Well, buying a number of flies initially, there's a startup cost, and I'll talk to you about that in a spec. But I'm going to let you know, here's a real cool story. I go to my brother-in-law's sister's barbecue one year. So we're out in the countryside, and yeah, you're mingling about, chatting with different people. So I start chatting with this guy, and he's a fly fisherman, so we're having a great conversation. And he begins to tell me this story. And he says, every winter, he and his friends, the guys that fly fish with, he says, once a week in the wintertime, so they can't get out because it's real cold in the Northeast. They can't get out, so they actually go to each, you know, one person's home. He goes, there is no alcohol served. He says, it's coffee and tea. They sit there, hang out, just shoot the bull, and they tie flies all winter long, and they make enough flies to use for the following year. So their cost of buying flies, because they're only buying material, and, you know, you go to these shows, you can, or online, you can always buy the material, too, to tie flies. But that's what they do. So I thought it was really just to give you something else out there, because you know what? We have many people that listen to the show, and it's not just rookies in the 101 series, but we have experts in here as well who listen into all of, listen to all the Joey B Outdoor stuff. Anyway, so there's something for you. Now, what would Fly Fishing 101 be without discussing the gear you need? Getting into any new sport will cost you a sizable amount of money. But with the correct homework, it doesn't have to break the bank. So let's talk about fly rods and costs. I would recommend for getting into fly fishing, a 5-weight Lefty Cray Signature Series rod from TFO. Yeah, hey, I'm an honest guy and I have a friendship with the company owner. But I've also used this rod coast to coast and I know it does the job. And their products, TFO products, are dependable and affordable. Hey, and I've even filmed a commercial for them saying that it's dependable and affordable. Hey, and I'm an honest guy, so I'm sharing that with you right up front. And I would match it up with a TFO BVK series reel. And they will not break the bank. Because as you begin to go to some of these fly shops, you're going to see that there are rods that go up to, some are even over, $1,000 a rod. And TFO definitely, again, hey, you know something? I'm a TFO guy. You might become a, and I'll just use the word blank, whatever the fishing rod, fly rod company is. Hey, you find what's right for you. I'm just giving you some, I guess, healthy advice, as they always say. Now, the fly line I use for my 5-weight is a floating line, and it's called Rio Grande. And Rio is the brand name. I have no association with Rio. They just happen to have some very, very good lines. The backing you use, because there's backing that goes behind, you know, closest to the inside of the reel, and it's very inexpensive. And I actually use much less backing than most fly fishermen. You know, on a 5-weight rod, you're not going to strip, and that's actually called stripping the line. You're not going to strip the line all the way off, you know, into deep into that backing. So I use a lot less, you know. And I'd say, you know, at this juncture, I recommend you finding your local fly fishing store and becoming a regular. As, you know, the many questions you have about your purchases, go there. Ask questions. Hey, and I do work with Ramsey Outdoors, so I'm honest on this one, but I've visited them, you know, many times. They have actually a fly fishing store inside their stores. From my many visits, I became good friends with one of their experts in there, fly fisherman Bill Borowski, who actually became my fly fishing mentor. I would go up there, and I would have countless questions to ask Bill as I got into it. Hey, and then Bill would say, hey, you know, hey, check out this stream, because you see, this is what your local fly fishing stores will help you out. I'd say, hey, go here, go there, try this out. Hey, I noticed that this fly is hatching on this stream, not hatching anywhere, try this one here. And then from that, Bill and I had, and I mentioned this before, we've become lifelong friends, and I filmed Joey B TV numerous episodes with Bill, just a great man. Now, the smaller incidentals when you're initially starting, they do add up. But once again, you only have to replace them a few items at a time. So go to your local fly fishing shop guy or gal, and they're going to help you set up the appropriate leaders and tippet. And I'm using a couple words you may not know, but you ask them, you go into the TU class, they will help you with that, and flies. And I'm going to say, don't go overboard buying flies. Get a few dry flies and a few nymphs. Nymphs are actually the larval stage that are on the bottom. You know, they're ones that are on the bottom of the water. And you're going to learn all about the aquatic insects. And through the TU class, you're going to learn the term we always use calling match the hatch. Well, matching the hatch is a true adventure in itself. And that is something that, you know, for a rookie fly fisherman or woman, hey, and I want you to know this, and many women across the country are getting into the sport. So I recommend, if you're that rookie person, purchasing also, and they're very inexpensive, strike indicators, and that's covered in the TU class. And it's going to help you see the actual strike happening. And sometimes, because trout tend to actually, when we use this term, tend to sip in the flies. It's not like a bass, if you're a bass fisherman and there's tremendous crash. If you're a striper fisherman, I guess the stripers are like, I've never eaten them in my entire life and I want this food now. And that's how they hit. Those hits are amazing. But trout are very delicate. And sometimes you don't feel those initial, they just sort of sip it in, and if it's, they realize it's not real, they will just spit it back out. And the strike indicators, they will help with that. Now, you're going to need a place to put your flies. And I'm going to let you know about fanny packs, but I need to tell you the Joey B fanny pack story, because in every store across America that sells outdoor goods, you see outdoor fanny packs. Well, about 30 years ago, all the guys across America are carrying these little tackle boxes around. And since I'm the one who wants to go into the back country and get somewhere, I was like, this is silly for me to be carrying this through the woods. And sometimes I'm bushwhacking to get places and you put it down, all this. So I go into the hunting section of a store and I see a huge fanny pack. It was a camo pack. So I just started to put all my fishing gear inside there. And at this time, because it was many years ago, it was all spin gear. Some of it was for bass. Some of it was for trout. And I just started using a fanny pack, never realizing that had I marketed that for fishing, I would be Joey B, the multi-jillionaire. I know this. I said this on another show. I told the story on another show. But it's worthwhile. So if you got an idea out there, hey, if it doesn't cost you anything or cost you next to nothing, give it a go. Because now everyone uses fanny packs when they're fly fishing. So, hey, some guys still use vests. I don't use the vest. Actually, I had a vest and I had a fanny pack and I gave it away. I use a fanny pack by Fish Pond. And no, I don't get any money from Fish Pond for saying it. But it's just the perfect place. Because, once again, I'm not just going to fish right next to the road. I'm going to get into the back country somewhere and just having it right there. And because, by the way, with the fanny packs, you simply just spin it around to the front, and I flip down the front part of it, and it's actually like a working table that I get to use. Now, another costly piece of equipment are fishing waders and boots. So let's talk about this next purchase. You need to do your homework at the shows and at your local fly shops. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you take care of your waders and boots, they will last you a lifetime. Newer waders, they allow you to wear clothing below. So, see, you can actually gear up with different layers. So, summertime, you may not need many layers or just one layer, and it's fine. And then there are, the colder times where you can put many different layers. There's chest waders, and there are waist waders. I happen to use both. I've been really living in my waist waders most of the time, but every now and then chest waders, I do pull those out. Now, I'm going to let you know that by being able to do your homework, finding them, taking care of them, because, hey, the first fly rod, actually, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the first spin rods I ever had, and I'm going to say it's 40 years old, not that I'm an old man or anything, but I still have that as well. I take care of my gear. This is just something my dad has. He would just like, with all of the equipment that he had, it didn't matter whether it was his lawnmower or a fishing rod, my dad took care, still does, takes care of every bit of it. And that rubbed off on me. So I'm going to let you know that piece. But I'm also going to tell you that in your vehicle, I drive a truck, the Joey B Mobile. I drive and I have all extra gear in there all year long. If it's summertime, it's summery gear. And if it's wintertime, it's many layers. And because you know what? Sometimes you might be with someone, their glove got wet or whatever it is, or they don't have the right gear, and I just dish it out. But I do keep track of it because I do want it back. But I'm going to give you a story, and this one's about me. Could you imagine that, me telling a story about me? But this one's, it only happened once, but it also happened in the wintertime because, once again, really cold where we live out here, so it's rare that we get to fish in the wintertime. But, climate change, things changing, going on. About 2 years ago, I guess it was, we hit a day that was in the 60s in January. Unheard of. Not much snow on the ground, so Inspector Dave and I, we're heading to the river. So we get up to the river. I've got my waders on, my boots. And with the boots, and as you learn from the fly stores and all, they'll talk about whether you want to have felt on the bottom or metal studs or both. And I happen to have both on mine. And I'm standing next to the river on some rocks, and I have fished here 1,000 times. Local stream, actually local river, low to a trout. And I'm fishing, and I just go to make a turn while I'm standing on the rocks. And I'm telling you, my little metal studs in the bottom of my boot get stuck in the rock, and my weight shifts. And as it shifts, I'm falling into the river, and I'm going, no. It was like, when things happen in your life and it just feels like they're happening in slow motion, and you're going, no. Well, this was one of those times. And I fall into the river, and I got wet probably up to, because some water went in the waders. I happen to have the chest waders on. If I had the waist, they're tied tighter there. I'd have probably next to no water in. So I got some water in, but obviously my thermals are cold. Because you can put the layers inside of there. Even though it was 60, it was probably going to be dropping down to 30s by the time we were leaving. So I just put them on. And my socks are wet, shirt's wet. But I was able to go back to my truck, got a towel, dry it up, changed into dry gear, listen to Inspector Dave. Because once again, your best friends in the world, you know this. It's they're allowed to make fun of you at this moment. And yeah, I took a little heat, but it was worth it. But hey, because I had that extra gear, I was able to go back and go finish fishing for the rest of the day. So I tell you about that. Now, you want to make sure that you're safe. You want to learn how to read the water. And I'm going to tell you that you want to listen to the, you know, if you're a saltwater fisherman, the older guys there are called old salts. Listen to the old freshie story here. So in my waders, just getting into fly fishing. So this is numerous years ago. And I'm standing in the middle of the river. And the old freshie, because there's old salt, so there's got to be old freshwater guys. The old freshie says to me, hey, excuse me, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm fly fishing. Hey, he says, well, why are you standing there? I said, because it's a good place to be in the river. He says, come on over here. And I'm willing to learn from anyone. And he says, you're standing where the trout are. And again, I was just learning how to read the water. And that's where the trout, they weren't there at that point because I was standing in there. And he taught me how to read the water a bit. So we can learn a little bit. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some old freshies in a few seconds here. And one of the first fly fishing guides I had at Yellowstone National Park, he says, we're going to stalk up to the stream, go quiet, because so you know this trout can feel the vibrations of your feet. He says, we're going to start fishing 10 feet away from the stream, because he says most people walk up to a stream and they're, well, if you walk up to a stream, you've just spooked the fish that were on your side of the stream away. And we began to fish 10 feet from the stream, and we were fishing from the closest point, you know, next to us, and working ourselves out. And we caught fish right at the nearest bank. So I learned something there. Oh, you should also understand that fish, because they are a prey species, osprey, etc., many animals want to eat them, they are wary of shadows. So you need to be looking at the sun all the time, make sure your shadow's in the right place. And trout also can see color. So if you're trout fishing, I'm going to recommend that you wear colors that blend in. And since I love to wear camo, it can be Joey B camo sometimes. So, you know, I wear camo clothing. And your waders tend to have those natural earth tones that blend in too. Also, you need UVA, UVB sunglasses because the sun is out all year long. So it's eye safety. I always wear a hat. I wear a hat for two reasons. One is to protect myself from the sun. But the other one is, and I've had this often, some other fly fisherman or some other spin fisherman, and I'd even say more so spin fisherman, have hit me in the head with spinners, with hooks, and the sunglasses that are there for protection of the sun have protected my eyes, the hat. So you use that. And I'm also going to say, depends on the time of the year or whenever, sunscreen when necessary too. And I'm going to say, when you're riverside, ask questions. The old freshies, they love to share their knowledge. And many times, they share one of their own hand-tied flies. And this has happened many times, hey, to this day. And I never consider myself an expert because I always want to learn. But every time I'm somewhere on a river, you know, I'm taking a break, I'm looking for that old freshie just to have a great conversation with them. And I'm always learning something from them. They love to share their knowledge. You know, I'll say this, get involved with your local TU chapter, especially when they stock the rivers and streams. And they do this every week. Just stocking the rivers and streams is an awesome experience. And every state has different laws regarding fishing. So you need to purchase, got to be able to speak here, you need to purchase the proper fishing licenses. The money goes towards raising more fish to be released. So in essence, you're paying. So next year, you're going to be catching. Hey, so if you're paying to catch, that's a good thing. My goal in life, and you'll like this one, is to fish once a week and kayak once a week. Sometimes I marriage the two together. From a local stream to fly fishing a glaciated lake in New Mexico, my adventures have given me a lifetime of memories. I practice catch and release fishing to ensure that there will be fish always to be caught. And I take photos everywhere I go. Want to see my photos? You can go to Joey B, my Twitter, Joey B Outdoors. You can also tweet me, you know, question, a comment, because I always want to hear from my listeners. And hey, and I do learn from you, and I do appreciate your comments. But I just love being in the outdoors. So grab your fly rod, grab your fly reel, your flies, and until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure.
That was awesome.